Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Three, two, one.
Hey, you amazing earthlings, and welcome to episode 3 of Shifting the Paradigm. I'm Christina Gomez, and for new viewers, welcome. Please join the Paradigm Shifts community by subscribing and staying up to date to all of the new videos coming out. Today with me is a Texas-based UFO researcher and journalist, Jane Kyle, but better known as UFO Jane. Jane has documented hundreds upon hundreds of UFO sightings on her website, which you can find in the description box below. Jane also runs a YouTube channel where she regularly covers UFO reports and stories. Jane's reportings have been featured in the San Antonio Express News, the Drudge Report, the UK Daily Express News, and more. Jane has a journalism degree from the University of Texas at Austin and a 12-year career in writing and marketing. And without further ado, let's welcome Jane into the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. What an awesome show intro, by the way. This is, I love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, I definitely love creating videos like that. It's just so much fun. You get to be so creative and also get your point out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Only episode 3. I'm honored.
Cool. Heck yeah. So let's just jump all in. Let's go head first. So please go ahead and tell the viewers a little bit about how you got hooked into the UFO topic.
Yeah. So I was not one of those budding ufologists that was obsessed with this growing up, or came from a military family where, you know, people heard rumors that, you know, people had seen things. I know a lot of folks like that, and that's why they got into the field. For me, it was not that way at all. So it was actually a guy's fault. So after getting my college degree and all that, I met a boy. And, you know, I thought I had the world figured out, you know, and everything. And little did I know, I had no idea what was out there. So my now husband, he grew up, I mean, this was before everything was on the internet. So he grew up like reading those weird books in the library, you know, that you're not supposed to read. And so he knew everything about UFOs. And so it was just osmosis. Once I discovered that, well, UFOs were real, I couldn't undiscover that. So I had a journalism degree. I enjoyed writing. I enjoyed blogging about things. And so I started noticing that people would report seeing UFOs here in my home state. So they would tweet about it or maybe send in a report to the MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, or things like that. But there was no CNN articles about it. There were no articles about it in my local news. So it's like, wow, I just got to document this. And the rest is history. So that was 2012 when that website started. Since then, now UFOs are real. They weren't real when I started doing this, according to the government. I was, you know, tinfoil hat all the way. And now they're legitimate. They're real now. And we're all being encouraged to be ufologists. So it's been a fun journey.
And what's been happening recently around Texas that is notable that caught your eye?
Yeah. So, well, just like anywhere, really, I find UFOs are being seen all the time on the regular. So there's all kinds of activity in Texas. It's actually impossible for me to keep up with it all. That's how
really
prevalent, you know, unidentified flying objects not always aliens. Sometimes it's Chinese lanterns. Sometimes it's the Starlink satellites. A lot of people saw that over the last few days. Elon Musk sent some UFOs up there for us to gaze at. That said, though, there are things seen all the time. But a recent trend has been the cylindrical or rod or cigar-shaped craft. So I've been getting a number of reports of cigar-shaped craft, which I've gotten reports of them before, but there's definitely been a spike. And if people recall, there was a big national news story about an American Airlines pilot who witnessed a cigar-shaped craft or object outside their, plane window while flying over New Mexico. They reported it. That report was verified. But during the same month in Texas, of at least two reports of people seeing cigar-shaped craft by planes. So from the ground, so a little bit before the American Airlines pilot came forward over seeing something over New Mexico. In the Dallas area here in Texas, somebody reported on MUFON seeing a wingless white cigar craft that was passing underneath the plane. And that's the one that I have a photo of on the website, so people can check that out. Mm-hmm. And then there was another report of somebody who was watching planes come in Irving, which is not far from Dallas, on a different day in February. They were watching the planes come in, and they saw two, what they described as 600-foot cigar-shaped objects that looked to be flying in formation near these planes or near a plane. And they were actually so concerned for the passengers in the plane, so sure that the passengers could have seen this UFO, that they almost called 911. They ended up going to the National UFO Reporting Center instead and reporting it there. So that's how I found it. But this is alongside other reports I've been documenting over Texas. You can just, go to TexasUFOs.com and you can click Texas and go down to cigar and see all the latest cigar shaped objects. So I'm not sure what's going on with those or who or what are piloting those craft, but it is a weird phenomenon right now, for sure.
Wow. And Professor Matrix says, Christina, my friend who works for the NSA said a lot of people in the intelligence community like your show. So thank you, Jane, for also joining in on this show, being a part of the new family.
How fun. Yeah. Well, who's watching? Should we be careful then about?
Might get a few knocks on your door.
Yeah. So, I'm still here. So I think we're good at this point. Yeah.
For the time being, but no one's safe.
Right.
So you talked about the cigar shapes being about 600 feet. And, the topic for this video is practically everything's bigger in Texas. Yeah. So have you seen any, motherships or huge triangular crafts or anything that's just incredibly large?
Yeah. So triangular, that's a real buzzword, trigger word in a positive way, whatever you want to say, because that's been the most common type of UFO that I have documented in Texas, and it definitely happens all over the world. I mean, there's been so many videos and photo of these, I guess you would call them dark triangular shaped objects or craft. The commonalities are that they, or of the weirder ones at least, are that they'll hover for long periods of time, before taking off, according to witnesses. They don't make any noise. Sometimes you can see them and sometimes you can't, as if they can cloak themselves or become transparent. So people, again, you can click, triangle, or go to YouTube to see a bunch of triangle UFOs that have been documented over the years. So that's one that I believe even skeptics, or, and I say this lovingly, like the Mick Wests, of the world, still have to acknowledge that these V-shaped, triangular, large, intelligently controlled craft definitely exist. The skeptical viewpoint would be that, well, they're our own military. They belong to us, and they're just advanced, top-secret craft, that we just don't know exist, or, you know, haven't been given the information about. So yeah, those are undeniable.
There are quite a few cases in Texas, and especially back in 2008, there was the UFO flap in Stevensville, yes, Texas, which is close to Dallas for people that might not know where Stevensville is, which is widely covered by the press in various documentaries. Have you looked into it about that case?
Yeah, you know what's kind of spooky about the Stevensville Lights?
No, tell me.
Early on in my UFO career, whatever you want to call it, I was able to do quite a bit of digging on the Stevensville Lights. There would be so many articles and things. I have found that case to be the harder and harder to find information about. But I know that one of the latest things that we heard is there was, I believe, radar evidence validating those sightings, you know, in addition to the photos. And so, I mean, they definitely really were there. And I think that they were headed toward George Bush's ranch. Yeah, yeah, at the time.
Do you want to just talk about a little bit of like the details of what the craft was for people that might not know?
So I believe it was just, I mean, kind of reminds you of Starlink, you know, just a series of lights, I believe. Were they V-shaped? I'll have to, it's been so many years since I've looked into that. And what I want to say to that, even though I have been studying UFOs now, like day to day, right, for probably almost a decade, I still am finding out new information about cases and finding new cases. There are so many cases. After a certain amount of years, they start to jumble up because it's absolutely just incredible. So, I mean, as far as like famous cases in Texas, I mean, you have so many incredible ones. And so I know somebody in the chat will properly describe the exact shape of Stevensville Lights for us. But if people are curious about some of the really big, we talk about big UFOs in Texas and the big history around Texas, is the history of UFOs in Texas, at least documented ones, you know, that we talk about today, actually begins in 1897. So the late 1800s, way, 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 way before Roswell. So there's been, you know, a bunch of sightings since. And yeah, so we can talk about all of them, you know, or whatever you guys, you know,
go ahead and tell the story. I mean, I was going to talk about it anyway, so I'm so happy you brought it up because it's a fascinating story.
Yeah. The Aurora, Texas one is probably one of my favorites, which is saying a lot because, you know, there's a lot of great cases out there. And the story goes, we didn't have Instagram. We weren't live streaming Instagram at the time. So we just got to go on the word of mouth, right, from folks at the time. But in 1897, a cigar-shaped craft, so we were talking about that earlier, purportedly crashed. So Aurora's outside of Dallas, Texas, if you want to imagine where that is geographically. And it crashed. The story was through a windmill, but later details we found out, some other similar-looking tower, and into the yard of a local judge. And so obviously this was a huge deal. All the locals, you know, saw this craft crash, heard it, went to the scene. Apparently they discovered a body, an alien-like, you know, weird-looking dead body, unfortunate soul. And they found papers. So it wasn't just, you know, a strange being that they found, but they found papers on this being that had strange, like hieroglyphic, like unusual writing that they could not decipher. And they buried the body. So they gave it a Christian burial. And the story then goes, as you might expect with any really good UFO sighting, you know, the men in black, the military, some folks showed up at the scene after, and, you know, all the evidence was gone. And you can still find the headstone where, assume it's the original headstone. Maybe it's just a new you know, fake one, but you can still find the headstone of the burial site. But from what we gather, that has, we can guess that's probably all been exhumed and, you know, at some Area 51 type facility, you know, if that really is, you know, what happened. So we've got plenty of, even that happened a long time ago, you know, people who remember those who talked about it, and also even maybe who weren't there to see it, but have been around to see the cover up, right, in their town or see evidence of that. So that's a really great case. And the context of that is that there was actually a wave of cigar-shaped craft sightings in the late 1800s all over America. So this was not an isolated event by any means, like even hardly. So there were, you know, craft seen over California, most notably, and then other reports of the pilots of those craft, you know, claiming to be from Mars. There was a really goofy story of people seeing a craft, a cigar-shaped craft in California, and there were naked people in it singing. So, you guys should go look just look up Google naked people singing cigar craft California will probably come up. That's a Wikipedia one. You can find that one. So what was going on in the late 1800s? Even Thomas Edison, I think, had to make a statement saying these are not mine because they were being seen all over the time, you know, all over the place. And, you know, this was before the big blimps and all of that. There would have been hot air balloons. So were there some, you know, breakaway aviation experts that were creating these craft and testing them? Or was this a time when maybe aliens were okay with being a little flashier? And and then Roswell, you know, they decided to be a little bit more on the DL, you know, at that point, you know, going forward. So, yeah, that's definitely, yeah, sorry to get ahead on that one. If you're
No, that's awesome. I love it. And there, the 1880s, the late 1800s, not 1880s, but the late 1800s, there were a few other cases also in Texas that happened, one of them being the Marfa lights.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I had not known about this sighting until recently, just because I didn't know it. But do you want to talk about that one too? Because it's around the same time period as the Aurora lights incident.
Yes, yeah. So the Marfa lights, I would love to see in person. Texas is really big, so I haven't been to most places and probably won't, you know, go to most cities here. But Marfa, Texas is on my list to go there and try to see those in person, because that is a real time UFO phenomenon happening. Yeah. You know, you can, if you go to Marfa, not sure the exact site, but if you go to Marfa, I'm sure that you'll be sent there. It's like pretty much a tourist spot, and there's a lot of fun energy from what I hear and cool vibes in Marfa. Apparently it's a very cool place to vacation to.
And for people that don't know where Marfa is, it's on the west coast of Texas, kind of like where the border is with Mexico. It's because people that might not know, it's not really a popular city.
And you're probably gonna, I'm horrible with all that. So you probably gave a better idea of where it is than even I would have been. I would have been like down there. Yeah. way down south, you know, where I am. Yes. So exactly. And yeah, very kind of rural, like out in the middle of nowhere, right, too. So great place to stargaze, you know, if you guys want to do a trip. But so, yeah, so the Marfa lights, they're just these really strange hovering lights that kind of appear and disappear, and there's just no explanation for them. So could this be repeated visits by some alien entity? Could this be maybe just a very strange, weird phenomena, a natural phenomenon that for whatever reason we're afraid to study more? I'm not quite sure. But people have tried to debunk the Marfa lights as passing car headlights being like reflected off the mountainsides or something like that. And that theory doesn't add up, because these sightings and stories of them go, like you said, go back to the 1800s, maybe even earlier.
I mean, it's been repeating.
Right?
Not until 2003 did it become a more strict research became on it. And it says that it repeats about 5 to 6 times a year where you'll see these lights. And sure, it could possibly be mimicked, but at the same time, it's been debunked about being lights. It's been debunked about being the military base, which there is a military base in Marfa, Texas as well. But none of these things add up. So it makes you question, are these repetitive visitors of some kind that are doing maybe an experiment or just doing some research? Like, there are so many conspiracies, there are so many possibilities, and all we can do is just kind of be open-minded and think of anything possible.
So I'm dying to get down there and try to catch them, you know, and do my own experiment for folks. But yeah, definitely.
Do you happen to know when those lights are repetitive? Because like we said, it's 6 times a year, give or take. I mean, is there like a pattern, or is it random?
I'd be curious to look into that and see. But as far as I know, it's random. Yeah, but yeah, I'm sure there is a pattern. You know, if we were to look at it over time, maybe the longer, you know, now that we have, you know, so many years, we could probably identify a pattern. That's definitely something a lot of people will say, and maybe this is one of your questions. I don't know, but they'll be like, well, what city is you're most likely to see a UFO or things like that? Or where are the UFOs in Texas? And Marfa, you know, that's definitely a spot to check out. But I was talking to my other friend, Jess, on her podcast and saying, well, it's more like when are the UFOs seen in Texas? Because you could have, I remember there was a summer where there were just triangles, like nonstop triangles. And that was kind of in the San Antonio area. But that doesn't mean you're going to go to San Antonio today and see a triangle UFO. But there are definitely these UFO flaps, like the recent cigars and these weird patterns of these crafts. So, you know, which would kind of make sense. There's probably a rhyme or reason, you know, why they or whoever they are would come here. Yeah.
And when you're writing these UFO reports, do you meet up with any UFO sighting witnesses? And because when you're surveying an area, right, that are submitted to you before you conduct these reports, I mean, Texas is ginormous. How do you find these?
Yeah. It would be impossible for me to go out to all the sites of these UFO sightings and also report on them for people. So my role, and so what's really great about MUFON is they have these really great field researchers and people who go out and they'll spend a lot of time investigating reports, debunking them, bringing them forward. And that's wonderful. But unfortunately, what happens is there kind of is this vacuum, right, of investigation that's happening, right? And we sometimes miss out on the opportunity to just say, hey, this witness saw something in Austin. Did anybody else see this too? That has been the most valuable thing from the beginning of doing the website. So I don't really, yes, I'm a UFO researcher. Yes, I'm an expert. Yes, I talk to witnesses and I try to do whatever legwork I can, but I considered this a community effort, like a crowdsourcing effort. And so I feel that that's what I can offer the UFO community. You know, another really great field researchers are the UFO Bros, Joe and Emmett. I think people should go follow them. And they found some really cool stuff. They've been out to Area 51. They go to Roswell a lot. And, you know, I've been those places, but there's some really, really great, I mean, like literally they're on the ground, you know, folks. But what I do is I go to Twitter, I go to YouTube, I go to MUFON, you know, and then I go, and then I put all of this stuff together for folks so they can see the patterns. And, you know, there might be somebody who's reporting like a cigar or triangle or flying saucer to MUFON. And then there might be somebody also tweeting about it or also writing in. So I get a lot of firsthand reports.
Wow.
And so that's a way that we can help to verify, right? And put 1 + 2, you know, equals 3. And so I would say that has been my approach I mean, partially just out of necessity, because I cannot get myself, you know, to Marfa one week and then to San Antonio the next week, because it is just on like Donkey Kong, you know, as far as the UFOs go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Texas is really seriously huge.
So, you know, it's great. It's great when something happens here, like close by. That's awesome because I can, you know what intersection or things like that. But yeah, covering the whole state, I rely on the collective wisdom and a lot of the field researchers that are already doing things too to help bring, you know, what they're doing forward to the people. Because sometimes stuff gets a little buried, you know.
So you were saying it was a community effort. Do you go to any local groups to do night sky watches, or do you travel to any Texas hotspots?
Yeah, so these days, definitely not. anytime I can get out, anytime I'm in a rural area in Texas, I make sure to look at the nighttime sky. We were actually, wasn't too rural, but we were on the beach this last weekend, and you know, it was a big open sky, but I didn't see anything. And I really enjoy the MUFON meetups in mm-hmm. Texas. If you do like have a MUFON like nearby you, where you live, I don't know how the events are going these days, but that's always really fun to go and talk to witnesses in person, and it's just a really fun, you know, place where people can feel comfortable, you know, talking in person rather than just the anonymous kind of Twitter email thing. Because what I would say a pattern with witnesses is most of the time, especially, of course, for the really great sightings, witnesses want to be anonymous and don't like talking about it. So most of the time, it's almost like they want to cleanse themselves of what happened and just get it off their chest and not really think about it again. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a report from somebody who's like, I don't really even believe in UFOs, I'm not crazy, you know, but I saw this. So there's a lot of that like hesitation. And so it actually can make it kind of difficult to access witnesses. And I find actually some of the more compelling sightings are where you have that hesitancy even more. So it'll be interesting to see with all the maybe new UFO news in the pipeline and things happening, if that might start, you know, to shift, like shifting the paradigm for sure. And if exactly. If people are, you know, okay with maybe not being, you know, anonymous and sharing more, because I actually do find that to be a challenge, an ongoing challenge.
So then when it comes to alien sightings and you have that hesitation, what about when it comes to cattle mutilation cases? I mean, there are plenty of cataloged over the years in Texas.
Yes.
Have you ever went out to study any instances where there's been a mutilation in your area or anywhere around your area?
They are definitely happening. I have never been reached out to personally about a cattle mutilation. I won't want to say that verbatim. I don't know if I've followed through with any of those, maybe because I had hesitancy. So that's just an area of ufology that's, you know, crop circles are more fun and or you know, just kind of dancing around in the sky is like kind of cute, right? Or, you know, people have positive abduction experiences and stuff, but it's really hard to have a positive angle on the cattle mutilation. I am surprised. I hope that it's not happening very often, because I would think if it was happening like a lot, I would get those reports in Texas, because there's so many ranches and, you know, cattle, you know, right? I did do an interview, though, with Major Ed Dames, who worked on the CIA's Project Stargate. So this was like way back in the 70s. And he helped to facilitate these remote viewing sessions that the CIA were secretly doing. And they actually remote viewed the site of a cattle mutilation. And so that was a really interesting conversation with him. And I don't think they could really I mean, and obviously remote viewing, some people may not buy that that works. You know, I'm open-minded. But they weren't really able to solve the mystery of it. But there was definitely a darkness about it. And yeah, so that is one of the spookiest, more serious. And it's really important that, you know, we find out what's going on there. Are there, and is it alien? We don't really know, right? Could this be a human, something humans are doing? Are we experimenting on these animals to try to learn more about humans? What is the purpose of this? I don't know. I don't have the answer.
So then putting cattle mutilations aside, what's one of the most compelling cases that you've personally investigated? It could be either a UFO sighting or something related to that.
Yeah. So, man, it's hard to say like a specific sighting because as I go through, you know, all these years of research, it starts to kind of snowball into types of things, right? So I would say I get regular reports of abductions and those kinds of experiences, right? So I would say the gray alien, just in general, is the most, like, that's what keeps me up at night. I'm like, are these real? What are the grays? Because I do get reports of people encountering them, of people, but it's not, you know, if you go back in time to more, I guess, solid abduction cases where we have like physical evidence and other eyewitnesses, like the Travis Walton case in the 70s, or, you know, Betty and Barney Hill, or, you know, all these things. There really seemed to be, you know, a physical ship that was taking people up. You know, Travis Walton was missing, you know, that's on record. He was missing. His fellow loggers saw the craft and everything. But these days, it almost seems to be more like a metaphysical experience. So not that it's not happening, but that these entities, the grays, or sometimes people talk about the reptilians. That's not as common. Are they remotely abducting, remotely communicating with us? So are they able to somehow, they have higher powers of consciousness or some kind of technology where they can come into contact with us, but not, you know, leave no trace behind, right? And not be found out. So I have this feeling like somehow the abduction phenomenon has evolved into what it is today, you know, or are people, this is not to discount anybody's experiences or say that they're not true, you know, but could people be having strange memories from whatever this phenomenon was in the past or in our collective past? So I'm totally intrigued by the gray aliens. From all the research I've done over the years, I feel like they're real. So yeah, I want to find out about the grays. And I don't think we're going to find out from the government anytime soon. I think that's going to be one for the ufologists and the just the everyday folks for a long time. I don't think we're going to get any official answers on those guys. What's your feeling? I have to know. Do you think they're real? Do you think it's a figment or some, like, a collective figment kind of the imagination?
I think anything is possible. I think absolutely anything is possible. And you had just talked about the government. And so with your dealing with this topic for almost a decade now, what's your feeling about the current UFO disclosure and the 180-day report? Like, what are you expecting and what are you hoping for?
Well, I'm super excited for June, especially with some of the recent disclosures we've had already. Just, you know, so I feel like it's going to keep building. And I definitely think we're going to see something cool. I don't think the government's going to say, never mind, we were wrong about UFOs. Like, it was all drones and swamp gas and stuff like that. I don't think we're going to get that kind of let down. I think the conversation is going to continue. Yeah, no, I think we're going to get some cool things that maybe, you know, like folks like you or me or some in the chat maybe already know about, like, oh yeah, okay, I already know that there's triangle UFOs. Like, I already know that there's UFOs, okay? But for folks who haven't been, you know, researching this, haven't been down the rabbit hole, I think for them it very well might wake them up a little more. I definitely think the December 2017, you know, New York Times article was, you know, totally changed everything, right? And it's only continued to build sense. So I think June will definitely be another pivotal point in the disclosure story, and it will, you know, be a marker on a timeline. And, you know, here's disclosure, here's June. And I don't know if people are only listening, but basically I'm making my finger go up in an exponential disclosure, right? But like I said, I don't think we're going to see alien bodies. I don't think we're going to get details really about, I don't think we're going to know everything that the government knows. So, I mean, there's only three departments, as far as I know, that's being tasked with disclosing UFO files. And that's the Office of Naval Intelligence, the UAP Task Force, and the FBI. So I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, where's the NSA? Where's the CIA? You know, where's all these, you know, other agencies and entities, or, you know, groups maybe we don't even have the names for. So we're not getting, you know, files from everywhere. So, you know, already it's very limited to these specific departments. So I feel like that might be by design, kind of know there's some limit to how panicky we can be, right, within that framework. But so yeah, will we see maybe a clearer photo of maybe a little more detail on a craft than we've seen before? That's what I would like to see, something that just can't be debunked as a seagull or a Batman balloon. I know people are having a lot of fun with some of the UFO photos that have recently been released, and I think they're super intriguing too.
And so then do you think that the public would do better disclosure than the government?
Yes. And I really task people to remember that you don't have to have, I mean, I say this all the time, you do not have to have top secret clearance to see a UFO, to form your own opinion about it, or to see an alien. So this is so beyond, the truth is not in the Office Naval Intelligence briefings. The truth is not like at the FBI. It's literally out there, like, for everybody to see. And the public has been researching this and, you know, posting photos and posting videos and sharing testimonies, and all that's going to continue, you know, with or without the FBI saying this is real. So, you know, I always, you know, task people to, you know, think for themselves. And you know, if you've seen a UFO or you have a theory about a UFO, that's your right. This is, you know, your universe that you're living in. You have a right to wonder about if there could be other life out there, you know, or to believe that, right? So, you know, but that said, if you define disclosure as a, you know, an official, you know, a head of a nation acknowledging UFOs and saying that they're from not man-made or extraterrestrial. So, yeah, you know that.
Oh, God, sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, so if you think that the public would be better at giving disclosure, why do you think they're more hesitant to talk about their experiences or what they saw?
Yeah. Well, I guess it just kind of depends on, you know, what part of the public, right? So, yeah, so to the official definition, right, of disclosure, which would be like, you know, a head of state somewhere that, you know, says UFOs are real and that they're alien, right? Extraterrestrial. I think that's key. You know, it's not just unidentified, right? It's a little more than that. I do think there's a segment of the public that's going to desire that confirmation, that, you know, until they get that confirmation, even if they see something with their own eyes or a trusted friend does, it's going to be tempting. If they see a CNN article saying it was a hoax or, you know, explaining it, it's going to be tempting to believe that over what might be the truth, just because it's, you know, honestly, I think it's a little bit frightening to imagine that there could be more intelligent beings in us observing us from afar, studying us. And I don't blame people for avoiding this. I really don't. So I do think fear drives a little bit of that. And so hopefully with, yet let's say, you know, a head of state saying these things are real and like, it's okay. We've been kind of hanging out with them for a while. You know, maybe that would, I don't know, get rid of some of the fear and, you know, that might change for people. Or, you know, another unfortunate way that things could go though is fear could actually increase about this. And I think we all know with the recent events, kind of humans really don't behave the best when they're afraid. So I think it's going to be a challenge for the government to talk about this honestly, especially with kind of pebbles in their shoe, kind of like me and some other folks who, you know, always kind of remind people that these government agencies have been studying this, you know, and they were telling us for a long time that this wasn't real. And now all of a sudden they're changing their tune. So
yeah, I mean, here's
to be
here's
a little bit skeptical. Yeah,
absolutely. Here's definitely the thing with any kind of disclosure. It can either unify the human race or it can be the last straw on the camel's back and cause mass hysteria. So it can really go one of two ways. And some think really highly and some think more low on how the public will react. So back to the abductions that we just talked about a few minutes ago, have there been, because it was very popular in the 90s, a bunch of TV shows, there was a lot of featured books when Travis Walton's movie came out. So have there been any such abduction stories like this that have happened previously in Texas or anything that you've covered?
Let's see. I'm trying to think in recent years. I mean, that's what I mean. Like in, since I've been covering this, I just am not seeing those like physical, well-documented abduction cases. Now, maybe they're just being really well covered up now, you know, better than ever. It is almost always the commonality of people are in a dreamlike state or waking up from, you know, a sleep or something like that when they have these experiences. And so that's why I put it in like the metaphysical category. And I'm wondering if they have changed their tactics, you know, entirely, you know, the grays or whatever, you know, just evolved technology or, you know, wanted to be more discreet or maybe it's safer for us. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, that's actually why, and again, no disrespect to anybody who's an abductee or an experiencer, but early on when I was covering UFOs, I would, you know, I was interested in those reports, but again, there's no photo, there's no video, there's no fellow eyewitness, right? So it's like, well, can I really, I don't know if this really happened, right? I know the person believes it happened, but I don't as a reporter. But as time has gone on and I've gotten the same reports over and over and over again of these grays with these big black, you know, bulbous eyes. And then I have these separate, you know, studies and research into cases like Travis Walton and a number of cases where the grays have been seen. There were even some files out of Hungary that were leaked online that, you know, reportedly showed, you know, a gray alien that was recovered in Hungary. And I have not been able to get that verified. I'm still working on it, but and that would have been a physical, that would have been a physical case in the 90s in Hungary. Now that I recall, an actual pilot that crashed, and you can verify this pilot crash. But there were, you know, allegedly they recovered a body and they kept it under surveillance. But the gray alien was not talking to them and it was kind of spooking them out, and they felt like it was plotting against them secretly. And you don't get to see the end of that, but they were also monitoring the witnesses. So yeah, actually now that we talk, that's, I think that's the only recent physical kind of, wow, you know, gray alien case that I can think of, but really it's all just the, I was dreaming and I saw it, you know, I was, you know, experiencing sleep paralysis, you know, that appears to be induced. So yeah, these, it's fewer and far between, farther between.
Yeah, I read a report last year about a UFO flap that happened near a big refinery in the area in Houston, in Baytown, and in Pasadena. Yes. For those that don't know about where Baytown and Pasadena are, they're more industrial cities near the coast, right? They're near the coast of the water. Yes. So there's a lot of refinery factories there. So this flap happened repeatedly over the years. Mm-hmm. Why do you think these crafts are interested in these industrial areas?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because we also, you know, you always also have the UFOs that tend to show up by like nuclear power plants and things like that. And obviously they show up around military bases, you know, all the time. And yes, I do. Yes, you're very savvy. Yes, I have multiple reports of just kind of glowing weird lights over those oil rigs. And it could be, are they upset, you know, if they're aliens? Are they upset about things we're doing to pollute the earth? Or, you know, are these destructive things in their opinion? And so they're just there to watch and make sure, you know, nothing, we don't know what affects, you know, if you think of us humans and how we manage animals here, you know, on this planet, you know, we all, you know, we change their environments and we study their environments and we basically are looking out for ourselves, right? So if there are aliens and they've got, maybe they've got some home base here too. And so they care about the future of Earth, or, you know, maybe Earth, I would suspect Earth is an important planet in the grand scheme of things in the solar system, galactic federation, whatever. And they very much care about what happens here and if we're taking care of it. And something that a lot of people will say is, well, why would aliens, you know, ever come here to planet Earth? This is like the trailer trash. Like, they're just going to fly right by and go to some other awesome planet. And I think that Earth is probably amazing and is like the place to be in the galaxy. I mean, just think about all the amazing different geographies we have here. All, like, it's absolutely so diverse and incredible, and there's so much going on here. I think that might be the big secret, because there seems to be a lot of different UFOs, maybe different types of aliens watching us and visiting here a lot. So I think it's probably pretty cool here.
I mean, you can just hear the passion come out of your voice, talking not just about aliens, but about Earth altogether. How do you balance your interest in this topic with your family life? I mean, does your family accept the phenomenon? Are they interested in it?
Yeah.
Or do they just let you do your own thing?
Yeah. Let's just say my mom was not expecting me to, like, grow up to be a UFO researcher. So I definitely think, yes, extended family and friends, especially early on, we're always like, you know, we're always encouraging and supportive, not making fun of me to my face. But I sense that there were probably conversations, you know, behind closed doors. Like, why is she doing this? Like, but what's interesting is now that, you know, the news has just been kind of only coming out and only verifying things I said a long time ago, it's really just built credibility. And I'd like to think, you know, if any family and friends are in here and want to say otherwise, do. But I'd like to think that I've helped family and friends to become more open to this. And I don't know that it's as weird to them anymore. So I'm the person that you come to in the family if you've seen something or your friend has seen something. So I like to think I'm that person you can come to and not be judged, even if you yourself are still judgmental about it sometimes, right? Like, but if you see something, you'll say something to me. So it's been a fun evolution for sure.
So you're the cool family member, the one to bring to parties.
I'd like to think so. Yeah. I'd like to think I'm pretty cool.
So historically speaking, aside from the Stevensville, aside from the Marfa lights and from the Aurora lights, mm-hmm. are there any other notable hotspots of UFO activity in Texas where the sightings are periodically ongoing?
Yeah. I mean, really all the big cities, Houston, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas. Well, maybe not Dallas as much. Houston, you know, definitely like that, something about that coast, you know, maybe UFOs come out of the water, right? And so it's hard to say if that's just because there's that many more people right, looking at the sky to make those reports. But there's definitely a you know, any big city where you're going to see regular sightings. And so I can't point to any like specific rural town where there's regular sightings, but I will say just in general, some of the more amazing ones though do come out of those little small towns that I even hardly remember the name of, you know, because you do have that really nice big sky to see things in. So we definitely have lots of spots like that in Texas and just kind of all over. You can sort of find some really great sightings. And again, is that an alien just wanting to be under the undercover and not be in a big city? Or is it, you know, I don't know what could be going on there. So
Texas is also known. Oh, gosh, I'm hearing myself. Sorry. Texas is also famous for cryptid sightings, especially in East Texas, where there's been a rash of Bigfoot sightings over the years. Is that something that you've looked into as well, or is it just UFO sightings?
Yeah, a little bit. So, yeah, I'm really, really curious about Bigfoot. I'm not an expert, but, you know, I've interviewed some experts on it. Cliff Brackman from Finding Bigfoot and Nick Redfern, you know, I'm sure people know. And so I find it fascinating too, especially because Nick Redfern's funny because at least when I talked to him, he was more along the lines of UFOs and Bigfoot could be connected. Bigfoot could be alien. And then you have Cliff Brackman who's like, well, it's just another undiscovered, you know, monkey or ape, you know, type creature. He's even helped found this project where it was like the Orang Pandek Foundation. It's just this really neat, like reddish monkey, you know, that was recently discovered. So he takes a much more like biological, I'm just trying to find new animals kind of approach, right? And then others are, well, Bigfoot could be an alien. So I'm kind of in the middle. I think Chewbacca is basically Bigfoot. So why couldn't it be? And
right.
Yeah, and there definitely have been cases, I can't think of exact locations or dates, but where Bigfoot has been seen alongside a UFO. And I will say it's weird how Bigfoot appears and disappears. So could, you know, is there some like portal or something, right, that they're accessing? Could they truly be more advanced than we think? I know Cliff says it's not really weird that they're hard to find. You know, he gave the example of, I think it's bears, but when they die, like you don't ever find their bones or anything like that. Like that's not common in wildlife to find like bones of animal life. So we're kind of like looking for the wrong evidence for a rare a creature that's trying to hide, if that makes sense. So he takes a very straight line on it. That said, I definitely think Bigfoot's real. I think people have seen Bigfoot, you know, whatever that is. It's called Yeti some places. I mean, there's lots of terms.
A bunch of terms for so many things. I think just to kind of confuse the public. That's why you have so many names. But yeah. What about sightings? Have you heard about any flying over any air forces or bases in Texas? Because there's quite a few.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. Yeah, there's so many. I mean, if I like pulled up like a map right now of like air force bases in Texas, almost any sighting, you'd be like, oh yeah, there's a base like right there. So I think that doesn't surprise me because you've got two elements going on there. You could have our own, you know, military experimenting with craft, and we know for a fact that they do, or the aliens checking out, you know, what we're up to. So, yeah, I would say that's extremely common.
Are there any specific ones that kind of call out to you?
Yeah, I'm having trouble. I was going to look at like a map right here and just like see off the top of my head. But it's not full pulling up. Yeah, maybe I'll get back to you that one shortly.
That's fine. We'll just, about how many reports in Texas of objects resembling the Tic Tac shape UFO seen in the naval pilot footage that was released?
Yeah, so people never used the word Tic Tac before that the Pentagon news story. So it could be a lot more, right? So people started to use that terminology, and I think what they used before was cigar. So yeah, I mean, I would say, I don't know if that's as common as the orbs or the flying, or the triangles. Flying saucers actually aren't as common. But yeah, if you think of it more like, you know, disc or cigar, I'd say very common. Tic Tac's kind of just been a newer term that people have been using though. So it does pop up, you know, quite a bit. Wow. And I have one right here, by the way, of multiple UFOs filmed near Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas, not Texas. Okay, I've actually got a great Air Force Base one for you. All right, so this is back in the 50s, okay? So in Waco, Texas, in the 50s, there were a bunch of flying saucer sightings. So I received a report of somebody who saw them. There was a report to MUFON, and there were also newspaper stories about it. And so at the Waco Air Force Base, which, let's see, not sure what it was called at the time. It wouldn't, you know, be there any, the James Connolly Air Force Base at the time. So now it's a public use airport. Mm-hmm. They actually installed a flying saucer detecting camera at that Air Force Base in the 50s because there were so many saucers being seen. And in one of the reports, somebody saw 33 of them flying in the sky. So there's a good Air Force Base, you know, Texas story. But yeah, as I'm just like looking through, yeah, the reports here. Yeah, it's just so common. It's so common. Yeah.
Wow. And how many reports have you investigated, especially recently, where you suspect that people were actually seeing drones instead of UAPs?
Oh, you see, that's really common too. And it's actually a really big conundrum and problem right now. So I was just posing this about the Starlink satellites. So as our own craft get really advanced and cool, and even like our own personal drones like that we have, you know, starting to defy, you know, like the laws of physics and stuff, it is going to be really, really hard for us as UFO researchers to figure out what's ours and what's theirs. Because, you know, why not just, you know, if you're an alien and, you know, Earth's got drones, why not just send a drone down? It's so easy. So, you know, in the past when we weren't doing all these cool things, like in the late 1800s, right, before blimps and stuff, yeah, a cigar-shaped UFO, I mean, there's no other explanation, but that's a UFO. But now we've got all these crazy drones up there. We've got the Starlink satellites, and we know it's just going to keep evolving. I'm sure we'll disclose some military craft soon that we'll start seeing. It's going to be really, really hard. And the drones are cause so much. It's hard. So many people send in what could be a drone or maybe it's not, right? Like we still have to look at it because the fear is if we just, oh, that's Starlink or, oh, that's a drone, or, you know, Chinese lanterns are another really common one that is just wild if you've never seen that before. I remember when I first got into ufology and I saw Chinese lanterns, I thought, oh my gosh, the aliens are invading. This is, but in a very magical, sweet way. It was, I wish I could watch those videos again with that same, awe as I did back then, because that can look crazy, you know, all these glowing lights kind of dancing around. So yeah, I mean, it's a constant struggle as a UFO researcher, but if I have doubts, if I have reasonable doubt, I would really rather put it out there, because if I don't, I'm not going to get the insight from the community. I'm not going to get somebody else to let me know that they saw it too, and they also have a photo. Also, when I put it out there, I can also solve it. So if I can debunk it, the community is amazing at helping to debunk things. And I mean, that's actually my goal with every single sighting, is to try to debunk it. And it's just really exciting when you can't. So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Deviled Eye Elvis for the super chat. Thank you so much. And thank you, UFO Jane, for being a part of this podcast. You did amazing. Can you please tell them where they can find you on social media?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can search UFO Jane on YouTube, UFO Jane TX for Texas on Instagram, and, you know, TexasUFOSightings.com if you're curious about Texas, and The Weird UFO Show.com if you're more into like the national worldwide stories. So, yeah, well, come say hi.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again. And that is it for this live cast. Guys, if you haven't already, follow me on Twitter where I post a ton of daily updates on everything. And you get to know where all the podcasts are going to be, along with take a look at the latest video, the latest interview with Lou Elizondo that was posted on the Debriefed Media channel. Because that was pretty interesting. He dropped some really solid bombs that you really don't want to miss. And obviously, don't forget to keep your eyes on the skies.